News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. This is Election Day in a number of states and localities. Ohio voters deciding whether to enshrine abortion in the state constitution up to the moment of birth. Virginia's Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin hoping the state Senate will flip to GOP control while Republicans keep their House majority in Virginia. There are gubernatorial contests today in Kentucky and Mississippi. The Republican National Committee wrapping up a campaign to convince GOP voters to cast their ballots early and not to shy away from voting by mail.
We've launched Bank California, Bank Wisconsin, Bank Ohio, and we're launching it in battleground states with key stakeholders and state-specific websites.
RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel talking with the Salem Radio Network's Hugh Hewitt. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says his country will bear responsibility for Gaza's security once the war with Hamas is over.
This suggests that, as far as he's concerned, publicly at least, he wants to present Israel as still being there and being able to have some level of control over Gaza when the fighting ends. Now, whether or not that would be accepted by people inside Gaza is, of course, a completely different matter, because they would probably see Israeli troops coming in as some kind of reoccupation. Remember, Israeli troops left Gaza in 2005. So I think what has been an alternative proposed, certainly by the US, is that there would be some kind of joint Arab control maybe over the Gaza Strip. All of this will be, of course, questions for the weeks and months ahead when the fighting finishes, but there is absolutely no sign of that happening.
The BBC's Mark Lone. The New York Post reports new emails show Homeland Security formed a Stanford University disinformation group that censored American speech before the 2020 election. On Wall Street this morning, Dow futures down 84 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you called Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders. Trinity was great to work with. They wanted to help me. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
KMTQ News Flash. With hospitality workers on the Las Vegas Strip possibly walking out of their jobs Friday morning, managers at some strip properties are making their contingency plans. Word is, some management-level workers at MGM Resorts International are training to get an alcohol management card. That's a requirement in order to work at bar-related jobs. Leaders of the culinary local 226 say its workers will go on strike on the morning of the 10th. That's Friday morning. A new five-year contract has not been reached by them. The Friday date, just 6 days before the inaugural Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix. 18 properties on the Strip would have workers walk out on their jobs if no deal is reached. After months of extensions, contracts expired in September at MGM Resorts International, Caesars Entertainment, and Wynn Resorts Properties. About 35,000 culinary members working on and under expired contracts. 1 year before the 2024 presidential election, former President Donald Trump leads President Joe Biden in five of the six battleground states, and that includes Nevada. The New York Times Siena poll found 52% of the Nevada voters that were surveyed said they would vote for Trump if the election were held now. 41% supported Biden. Other recent polls showed Trump and Biden in a dead heat here in the Silver State. The last time a Republican presidential candidate won Nevada was back in 2004 when George W. Bush got 50% of the vote. An orange cone alert. A reminder, the Tropicana Avenue Bridge over the 15 is closed. Tropicana eastbound and westbound has been closed to all traffic since 9 Sunday morning. It will be that way until 5 tomorrow morning. Nevada transportation officials say that closure needed in order to make the changes needed for the inaugural Las Vegas Grand Prix, which happens 16th through the 18th, just around the corner. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
No major issues to face as we start this Tuesday morning commute. There is one accident in the Northern Valley on Lake Mead Boulevard eastbound after Losey. Injury accident there. Also, getting word of one on 95 southbound near Decatur. Not seeing too much backup. That's got to be out of the travel lanes there. Just keep an eye out if you're heading that way. 95 southbound again near Decatur. Going to have a drop in temperatures today. Leaves afternoon highs in the mid-70s. Winds should also lessen up a bit, but still could see gusts up to 25 miles per hour. 64 degrees right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him,
check it out!
And Joan, Shengang, I'm going to pronounce her, Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
We have just passed the 30-day mark since the tragedy that is October 7th in the Middle East. Where are we after 30 long days? Let's check in with Fred Zeidman. He's the co-chair and director in the Council for a Secure America, also the former chairman of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council, and he joins us. Fred, thanks so much for being a part of the show today.
Hey, Kevin, it's all my pleasure. Obviously, I wish it wasn't under these circumstances. It is 30 days since this catastrophe happened. We are seeing the ugly of the ugly. I mean, to look at what's going on in the United States and look at the level of anti-Semitism, what a horrible, horrible day. We've had just a few of the hostages released. I must tell you that Israel continues to do everything they need to do. But we've got to get to the root of all of this, Kevin. And, you know, I wish I had an answer. I wish you had an answer. I wish everyone had an answer. And destroying Hamas seems to be the only way to make it happen.
Let me just ask you, you have been focused throughout your lifespan that the United States should be energy independent. And as I look back on the last, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years, so much of our foreign policy relative to the Middle East has been related to energy independence or the lack of energy independence. Are we any closer today to energy independence to get that off the table?
Well, if you'd asked me that 4 years ago, I would have said absolutely, because we are energy independent. And the Council of Secure America, which is the organization that I co-chair with Harold Hamm, was probably at ground zero in that. Harold produced enough shale all day, every day, to make up the marginal difference in what we had to import, and it left us being energy independent. I will tell you that the current administration and their desire to totally shut down fossil fuel have taken us back decades. If you look at the very first move that President Biden made when he became president, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Well, let me tell you, everything that made us energy independent is dependent not only on drilling, but it is on moving the oil and gas that we find down to the Southwest or to west to Long Beach, where it can be refined. And the level of production in the United States was such that you could produce all the oil in the world at that point in time, but you couldn't get it anywhere. You know, there's basically only three ways of transporting oil and gas, and that's by train, by truck, or by pipeline. Well, when you shut down the pipeline, you got no way to get what you produce. On top of that, you're not going to continue drilling and producing if you've got to leave it in the ground. It's just absolutely wasted money. So this administration, number one, shut down the transportation means. Then they shut down drilling on federal land. Then they shut down offshore drilling. Then they said, okay, we're going to let you drill, but by the way, we're not going to give you permits. Well, if you don't have a permit, you can't drill a well. So we are so far behind, and I don't know the exact number, but we're back to, as our economy has continued to grow, we're back being totally energy dependent. You look at what happened to us when Saudi Arabia 4 years ago, and Kevin, I got to tell you, I laugh at this. I was in Saudi Arabia with the Crown Prince 2 days before he cut oil prices. And I said, it was just one thing. I thought we had a great meeting. But I said, there was one thing he forgot to tell me, that he was about to reduce oil prices to a point where we couldn't drill. It was just uneconomic to drill. So the answer to your question, and I don't mean to go on that long, but it's very simple. We are now energy dependent again. I remember telling everybody I could tell the day that he shut down the pipeline, wait till you see what your gas prices are going to be in 2 years. And we're seeing it over and over and over again. And not only that, we're totally at the mercy of the Mideast again. So all the progress we had made has really moved straight backward.
Again, joining us, Fred Zeidman. He is the co-chair and the director of the Council for a Secure America, the former chairman of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council. I want to ask you, though, about the rise in anti-Semitism, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Are you surprised by that?
Well, we've all been surprised at the level of anti-Semitism that's manifested itself. You know, we thought we were long past this in America. You know, we knew there are still vestiges of anti-Semitism everywhere. There always have been, and there always will be. But we can't understand the open level of anti-Semitism, and particularly coming from some of the major institutions in the United States. And there's a bunch of things that worry me about this. First of all, where did all these kids learn hatred? I mean, they didn't just wake up one day. They had to have been taught this by their family, by their parents. Someone had to teach them. And the other thing that scares us so much is that if you look at the main centers of the protest of anti-Semitism, it's coming from the very schools that train presidents of the United States and secretaries of state and all of this. So where are we going to be in 30 years? Where are we going to be when these people take over the leadership positions in the United States? Somehow we've got to root this out. All of a sudden it became acceptable with all this woke culture to turn the perpetrators of massacres, of genocide, into victims. I mean, it's hard for us to get our hands around this. I had a conversation with Danny Danon, who's the CEO of Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, a few days ago, and I said, Danny, you and I have seen this movie before, and it doesn't end well for the Jews. You know, we don't know where it came from. We've spent 30, 40 years educating people about the Holocaust, against anti-Semitism, against hatred, against bigotry. And now we've got it everywhere. I mean, I've got the TV on here this morning. They're beating up Jewish students. They've got Jewish students afraid to go to classes. where is all this coming from? And it's a result of not holding anyone accountable for it. And you've got these academic institutions that are so embedded, for lack of a better word, in this woke culture that they're allowing them to, these bad folks, to express themselves. And none of us ever thought it would get to this extent. None of us thought that all the progress we've made and all the effort that's been made, that this had not gone away, but had been sublimated from the American public. And look what we're looking at. I mean, every day. And it's not over. I mean, you've got folks threatening. We had an incident here in Houston just this week. A Jordanian national went on television, and not on TV. He went on some method social media and announced he had a picture with an automatic weapon, and he was announced that he was going to go kill Jews right here in Houston. Well, they jumped on it in about 2 seconds. We've been very lucky. We haven't seen the mass riots, but they've got this guy arrested and put away right now. So this is continuing to happen. Why has it happened? I don't know. I think that social media has had a lot to do with it, because these folks that used to be one-offs can now find everybody that thinks like they do.
Let me just ask you, on cable news, just in the last couple of days, there's been a lot of talk among the talking heads relative to what comes after the ceasefire, the surrender, the pause, whatever it is. What will Gaza look like? What is the future of Gaza once this thing is over, once the war is over?
Well, that's an incredibly great question. I mean, I want you to think about it for just a second, Kevin. But 16 years ago, Israel totally abandoned Gaza. We said, we're getting out. This is your country. Why don't you go recreate Beirut? Why don't you make Gaza into the new Beirut of the Middle East? Because Beirut obviously had been destroyed. So we gave them money. We gave them concrete to create a beautiful city on the Mediterranean. And what did they do? They elected Hamas, and they took all that concrete and built a tunnel system. Who knows what they did with the money? Is this all going to start over? Is there going to be a need? We have to make sure that Hamas cannot Hamas cannot reestablish itself. So if you look at the rubble that has become Gaza City, it's going to have to rebuild itself, and hopefully will rebuild itself without the terrorists, although we don't know that that's going to happen or not. Look, before we did that, it was all coming out of the West Bank, and it was all out of Hezbollah. And then once we walked away from Gaza, so who's left to govern Gaza? I mean, it's being totally governed by Hamas. It's not going to be a wasteland. It's got all the potential that it had before, and you got to start over. You have an absolute chance to rebuild the city. If you look at it, I mean, it has been beyond destroyed. There are going to be another million to a million and a half people going back in there. Are they going to allow this to happen again? Is Iranian money, which is another thing we have got to stop. We've got to stop nuclear proliferation coming out of Iran. And somehow we've got to cut. They only have one thing they can export that they can sell in Iran. Other than American money being given to them, and that's oil. And if we don't allow them to sell oil, we can set them back considerably. And there's some chance that we can then. I don't think it's going to be with our help, but hopefully. But it's got to be rebuilt, and it's got to happen again.
Our final couple of minutes with Fred Zeidman. I've got to ask you, because to me it's one of the great victories of the 4 years under Donald J. Trump, and that is the Abraham Accords. Are the Abraham Accords dead? And if they are dead, can they be revived?
Well, again, a great question, and one that we spend a lot of time on. The answer is we hope it's not dead. Look, a lot of the reason for all this and the timing of this was that America seemed to be on the verge of Saudi Arabia, who is the big bully in the neighborhood, making a deal to be at peace with Israel. It's not that there hasn't been ongoing trade forever with Saudi Arabia, but never out in the open. And Iran was hell-bent on destroying the relationship between Israel, Saudi Arabia, and not allowing this to happen. Look, the Abraham Accords have worked for everybody, absolutely everybody. And so we hope they have not gone away. A lot will depend on the presidency next year. You know, in the early days of the Biden administration, they were not supporting the Abraham Accords because, to me, it was the seminal event of the 22nd century, whatever ran. I apologize. But things were moving so well. We had made a trip to Bahrain, our organization, this past summer. We were supposed to be in Saudi Arabia this week. We've been invited by the Crown Prince. So, look, there's an underlying desire for this to happen and for this to work. And so when you've got people dedicated to this, I think it can, but it can't work where there's a war going on. Look, all the Abraham Accord countries want us to destroy Hamas. They're a pain in the side of everybody. And so they're secretly, although they can't say it, they're secretly rooting for us, obviously, because this has been a big disruption to everything that has happened so strongly. So we believe that it's going to come back. It'll obviously, if we return to a Republican administration any year, it's going to, whether it's Donald Trump or one of the alternatives, everybody, and if you listen to the debate tomorrow night, I'll bet it doesn't. It might not come up, but you're going to continue to hear that all of us are in favor of peace in the region. All of us are in favor of the Abraham Accords. I think unequivocally it's going to come back. And I will tell you, our organization is working very, very hard at it.
If folks want to know more about what you're up to, Fred, at the Council for a Secure America, where can they go? Where can they find you?
They can take a look online. I mean, we've got a website that tells everything we do, how to contact us. We are putting out daily, if you will, updates on what's going on in the war. We encourage everybody. We've been having, since COVID hit, we've had webinars, and we've had incredible webinars getting updates on the war. But you need to know all the things that we're working on. We're working very hard on the Abraham Accords. We're working very hard on peace in that region. We are reaching out again to the other countries like Bahrain, like UAE, in the neighborhood. And as I said, we were supposed to be with Saudi Arabia. So go to the website, take a look at all of the things that we're doing, and participate. There's no cost to coming on some of these webinars. We're having live meetings in New York occasionally when people come through. We did it during the General Assembly, the UN General Assembly. But that's all you need to do. Go to Council for a Secure America and take a look at the website, see where we are, and get active with us.
Fred, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, and me too, and I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Fred Zeidman, the co-chair and the director of the Council for a Secure America, the former chairman of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Don't forget, coming up top of the hour, Megan Barth from ReaganBabe.com and the editor-in-chief of TheNevadaGlobe.com. That's coming up at 7:05. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Tuesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We'll be live in Miami on the eve of the third Republican debate. Joe Biden under siege as poll numbers continue to get worse.
9 to noon on AM 670 KMZQ.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
This is Ron Quince, your Republican candidate for Nevada Congressional District 1 and a 20-year resident of the Las Vegas Valley. Over the last few weeks, I've had friends, neighbors, and clients ask me why I'm taking time away from a great career to run for Congress. The answer is 2 reasons. I'm doing it for the future of my 2 young precious daughters, and I'm doing it for you. When the American dream is alive for you, it is alive for all of us. It's a shame that the dream is now fading because of the reckless actions of Dina Titus and her boss, Joe Biden, and their thirst for power and control over your life. They have lied to us, destroyed our economy, our energy independence, and they have attacked our families. It's time for us to take a stand. The Ron Quince campaign is about you and the fight to reclaim the dream, the opportunities, and the freedoms that were promised in our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. You have a powerful voice, and I'm listening. Join our fight for Congress today at RonQ4U.com. Paid for by Ron Quince for Congress.
If your bank account is causing you headaches, switch to One Nevada Credit Union. With 46,000 free ATMs, innovative mobile apps, and convenient local branches, you can kiss your banker goodbye forever. Open an account online today or find a local branch at OneNevada.org.
One Nevada Credit Union. Our one focus is you.
One Nevada is open to all Clark County residents. Federally insured by the NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer employee benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employees and dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in the United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no-obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
Join the Vegas Chamber today. Being a member of the Vegas Chamber sends a powerful message of credibility and that your business is connected to a larger community of organizations dedicated to ensuring Nevada is a great place to live, work, and do business. Joining the Vegas Chamber and becoming part of the largest business organization in Nevada has never been easier. Grow your business within your budget. Visit VegasChamber.com and join today. Sponsored by the Vegas Chamber in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
So good to have you with us. Donald J. Trump yesterday was in New York and testified in his civil trial. In fact, let's go to cut 5 real quick. This is Donald Trump after his testimony yesterday as he was heading out of the courthouse. Here he is.
I think it went very well. I think you were there and you listened and you see what scam this is. This is a case that should have never been brought. It's a case that should be dismissed immediately. The fraud was on behalf of the court. The court was the fraudster in this case, they made references to assets that were very valuable, and they said they had no idea what the numbers were when they said $18 million for Mar-a-Lago, and it's 50 to 100 times that amount by any estimation. It's a terrible thing that's happened here. We're taking days and days and weeks and